Good evening and welcome, everyone. It always brings me great joy to see your faces up on the screen and know that we have come together with a certain hunger in our hearts. And we're here to support one another in the discovery of what we hope and trust is truth. So we come together from near and far, bringing our gifts, our longings, our search, beginning this new year of holy unknowing, yet knowing that there is light, there is choice, and there is possibility for each one of us and our own arising. In lighting the Christ candle, we affirm this and call upon the conscious circle of humanity to gather with us and inform us. So we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen. So we begin our time, as usual, with the remembrance of one of the great teachers of the Fourth Way lineage. And tonight we honor and remember P.D. Ouspensky, whose birthday was March 5th, 1878, and he was born in Ukraine. He met Mr. Gurdjieff when he was 37 in Russia and studied with him for 10 years and then went on and had his own groups both in England and the United States for another 25 years. He was the one who introduced the Nichols and many others to Gurdjieff. Excuse me. And like Mr. Gurdjieff himself, he traveled extensively throughout the world in the search of truth in science and philosophy, all with the understanding of understanding at a deep level the purpose of a human life. This is what Rodney Collins, pardon me, had to say about him. I first met Ouspensky in London, where he was giving private lectures in September 1936. These lectures referred to an extraordinary system of knowledge, quite incomparable with anything I had encountered before, which he had received from a man whom he called G. This system, however, was not new. On the contrary, it was said to be a very ancient one, which had always existed in hidden form and in traces of which would from time to time be seen coming to the surface of history in one guise or another. Although it explained in an extraordinary way countless things about man and the universe, which seemed hitherto quite inexplicable, its sole purpose, as Mr. O constantly stressed, was to help individuals to awaken to a different level of consciousness. He never worked for the moment. It might even said he did not work for time, for he worked and planned with a completely different sense of time from the rest of us, though to those who impatiently urged him to help them find and achieve quick results, he would say, "No, time is a factor. You cannot leave it out. Time is a factor." And we quote Mr. Ouspensky often in our work. Sometimes his writing can be a little obtuse to us, yet it is possible to find living truth in this timeless work. So may it be so for each one of us that it comes to meet us. So now we prepare ourselves to receive, and how we come matters, how we participate matters. So we place ourselves here now with intention and trust and receptivity to the influences coming from the conscious circle of humanity. And we prepare to receive them. without effort, rather with receptivity, with back upright, heart opened, mind quiet, in directed attention, body relaxed, noticing and then letting go of all tension, constriction, resistance. Open now. We breathe in deeply all every most hidden part of our being, all being, everything, everything that passed through us this day, our world today, everything that may have hurt, that confused, that prompted fear, that brought heaviness, that left us feeling powerless, less than, more than, everything. Everything that uplifted, that loved, that brought joy, surprise, all affirming, all denying, and we hold it as offering reconciled, as food for being. We lift it and ask that all be transubstantiated in our being, as food, as whole, as lovely, as radiant, as beloved of God. We do this on behalf of everyone and everything. And we breathe out this healing light into the world, all worlds. I hand over all complexities. I hand over all plans. I hand over all anxieties and small fears of my heart. I yield to the divine human life. I am here. I am. I wish. I can work. I stand unencumbered before God and one another. And so it is. And we now enter into our time of Lectio Divina and listen to the word and see how it comes to meet us. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you have been purchased at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Through its very embodied finitude, essence provides both the necessary raw material and the necessary friction to allow the pure movement of spirit to reveal itself in time and form. From the crowded days and years of joy and sorrow, something has crystallized out, the rudimentary forms of which were already present in all his experiences, his struggle, his creative work, his patience and love, namely the inner self, the individual, supremely individual creation of a man. He has given his own imp shape to the determinisms of life by a daily conquest of them. He has become master of the multiple relationships that go to make him up by accepting them as the raw materials of his self. Now he begins to be. It is necessary to nourish this growth of new meaning, which is around you on all sides, and thus attain the secret and hidden meaning of your creation. From being the semi-man that life makes, you are now a complete man. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you have been purchased at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Through its very embodied finitude, essence provides both the necessary raw material and the necessary friction to allow the pure movement of spirit to reveal itself in time and form. From the crowded days and years of joy and sorrow, something has crystallized out. The rudimentary forms of which were already present in all his experiences, his struggle, his creative work, his patience and love, namely the inner self, the individual, supremely individual creation of a man. He has given his own shape to the determinisms of life by a daily conquest of them. He has become master of the multiple relationships that go to make him up by accepting them as the raw materials of his self. Now he begins to be. It is necessary to nourish this growth of new meaning which is around you at all times, and thus attain the secret and hidden meaning of your creation. From being the semi-man that life makes, you are now a complete man. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you have been purchased at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Through its very embodied finitude, essence provides both the necessary raw material and the necessary friction to allow the pure movement of spirit to reveal itself in time and form. From the crowded days and years of joy and sorrow, something has crystallized out, the rudimentary forms of which were already present in all his experiences, his struggle, his creative work, his patience, and love. Namely the inner self, the individual, supremely individual creation of a man. He has given his own shape to the determinisms of life by a daily conquest of them. He has become master of the multiple relationships that go to make him up by accepting them as the raw materials of his self. Now he begins to be. It is necessary to nourish this growth of new meaning which is around you on all sides, and thus attain the secret and hidden meaning of your creation. from being the semi-man that life makes, you are now a complete man. And so it is. You're now invited, as you are moved to do so, to share with us what you received from your passage, the reading of this passage. Gloria, good evening.
You are not your own. I find that so freeing and so comforting. No matter what we wish for, no matter what we will for, some things are just beyond our control. And it's such freedom to just relax into that and just be, to be without the struggle, to be without the will. While you do everything you can, you know, we have to take responsibility for what we can. I find that so rewarding. And the older I get, the more I see what a part of the big picture we all are that we're unaware of until we connect the dots backwards. Mm-hmm. And I hope a ripe old age for all of us. Some of us learn it younger than others.
Yes. Thank you for that. Carly, good evening.
Good evening. I actually heard the very same phrase, you are not your own. And similarly, it brought this, just this feeling of being held, this feeling of peace, that other phrase of accepting, that phrase about accepting later on in the passage, it kind of came together for me of similar to what Gloria shared, that just opening to however we're made and whatever our challenges are in life, and seeing the ways that those lead us home to who we really are. And I don't have to be afraid of them.
Yeah. Thank you, Carly. Thank you. Tracy, good evening.
Good evening. I saw the image. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. I saw the image. And at one point, I felt myself connect to that image, that essence in me. And it was like in a rush, I could feel everyone's essence connecting. And then the words around it just reminded me that all the life experiences are just here to show us that precious essence.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you. Susan, good evening.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I heard first force, second force, and third force. And the first force was that necessary raw material, that wish or that raw desire. And then the second force is that friction, that necessary friction to allow the third force, the movement of the spirit, to really help us reveal itself through time and form.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you. Anyone else care to share? Melba.
I the new meaning all around me really spoke to me because, well, I like the way that it's put in the beginning of the paragraph, I mean, of the reading, that through the embodiment, the embodied finitude of our essence, we're giving the necessary raw materials. And then by going through life, it creates the friction. And I like that it said, it all reveal, spirit will reveal itself in time and form. Then I get to the bottom and it says that our essence is surrounded by new meaning. Okay. And I had to smile because that's what has fascinated me so much, is that being a part of the community, I have new meaning. I have new sources. The Gurdjieff work is a truth for me that resonates, and even the models resonate. And so I feel like who would think that it would take so long, 68 years, that new meaning would like radically shift my day-to-day questions and my day-to-day reactions, but it has. Thank you.
Thank you, Melba. Thank you. Marnie, good evening.
Hi, everyone. I am just sitting with gratitude welling up. I heard the last phrase of the reading, and thus attain the secret and hidden meaning of your creation. From being the semi-man that life makes, you are now a complete man. And I heard loud and clear at the same time that beautiful verse from the Psalms, you have you've crowned him with glory. And I am just so grateful that this opportunity has been handed to me, this precious opportunity to become something so much more. And I'm just deeply grateful. So thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, Marnie. Thank you. Joe, good evening. Welcome. You have to unmute.
Am I now?
Yes.
Okay. So whenever I heard you are now the complete man, everything went quiet every time. There was nothing to say. There's so much peace. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Joe. There is nothing else to be said. It just is.
Amen.
Just is. Jeannie.
I was struck by the image and all the curves, and there was no rigidity yet. There was this initial glorifying God in the body. That really struck me. Here's this raw material. And I just was grateful for the beauty of it. And here it is suspended. And in one environment, its eyes are closed. And then, you know, it's asleep. And then life happens.
Life happens. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Jeannie. Beautiful. Well, we'll move to the second part of our evening now, and it gives me great joy to introduce Sharon Johnson, who will accompany us in our journey into essence and its becoming. Thank you, Sharon, for being with us this evening.
Well, it's my great joy to be here. Breathing the air of the spirit all together in this way. And I too love that image, and that's why it's there. But I just wanted to say that I just see all of us in that womb and that waters of life right there. So beautiful. Each of us came that way, including Jesus Christ. So it's amazing. I can't help but look at that and go, and, you know, the Lord came down into the womb of a 14-year-old girl, and that's right there. So beautiful. So thank you all for being here, and I'm so glad to be here myself. And I love how our explorations each week are now called to practice in the service of being. That feels very right and perfect instead of homework, because, you know, we have associations with that word maybe, and also this feels more open-ended in the service of our being and whatever that's going to be. So I could read these off, but I think we've probably all read them before. All of our offerings, we had so many beautiful things here. Our forms of self-calming, co-opting of the work language, our Lenten practices, and we had those wonderful videos that were offered, the Will Point, and then and also Thomas Keating's wonderful contemplative voice in there. So I'm just opening the floor to whomever would love to share right now. So what was your work this week? Looks like Joe's back again for some more.
Yeah, I'm back. So this week, from the email I heard, closely connected with conscience is also compassion. We are all on the same boat. We are not better or worse than others and other people. We are one. And real conscience is gentle, it's merciful, and it doesn't criticize. And in regards to the homework, now that we're over the threshold into Lent, two forms of self-calming for me are scrolling social media and shopping on the internet. And since giving these up for Lent, Joe feels closer to Christ, but the temptations are stronger than ever. And but I know if I consciously choose to intentionally suffer with delight, non-critically, with kindness, Christ and our community in the desert, what we'll hold each other and encouraging one another to finish the race, and knowing that it will take one step at a time, second by second. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Yes, I think all of us are in the desert at the moment. We just entered. So we're all supporting each other through this Lenten experience. And I really meant to thank Mimi for holding and anchoring everything outside of herself within the group, because Yes, all of the things that you just mentioned about conscience. So beautiful. And that Guruji says it's buried, and then when it starts to come up, we really feel the remorse that allows us to move through our journey. And that requires, I think, for myself, I feel like it was a lot of compassion and kindness. Yes. Thank you. Looks like Howard is there. Hi, Howard.
Hello, hello. And the email itself, the writing really appealed to me. There's a lot of different things in it I really enjoyed, and it was fairly short, it seemed, but a lot in it. But what struck me the most was the Father Keating video. I got so much out of that. He talked about, you know, he drew a circle and then inner circles within the outer circle, and it began with ordinary awareness. And, you know, when he started there, I was like, yeah, that's where I am most of the time. And then the center of it all, if y'all haven't watched it, I mean, it's definitely it's very good. But at the center was divine indwelling, and that reminded me of real I, and also felt like, you know, that's where Father Keating was, and of course many others in our lineage, of course, but I've, you know, some of the reading talked about compassion too, that I think Carly talked about some, and, you know, being able to go higher to compassion instead of lower into whatever else, it reminded me of that center section too, the divine indwelling. And so I'm sure more will be revealed, but that was what struck me or appealed to me today in the reading.
Thank you. Thank you, Howard. It's beautiful. Mr. Bob.
Hi. You know, I didn't, this year I did not take anything away. I added a daily Lectio Divina. And I have found that I'm beginning to take that process in a very deep and meaningful way. It's very helpful. And, you know, historically, about the only time I did it was on Sunday mornings with the rest of us. But this is a very significant way to read our Holy Script. And would certainly encourage others to do that. Thank you.
Yes, I find that adding things in Lent is equally important. Thank you. I think David was next. Hi, David.
Hey, Sharon. You know, I just love the teaching on real conscience, buried conscience. For me, it's that and the teaching on real will are two of the most powerful things in the work, in my experience of putting those things on and really diving in. The both of those concepts give me a way out of the mechanical way of living, and which, as Howard said, that's where we are most of the time, right? So one of my mechanical ways of participating in life has been to read and listen to the news. And it's not a particularly creative Lent name. I know a lot of people fast from the news during Lent. I've done it before, but it feels different this year. And I think because of this last week's lesson, it really added a depth to it for me, because I think in the past, and this has happened with other Lenten aims for me, that I'm engaging with the aim rather mechanically. Oh, sure, I can do without the news. Okay, good. Just don't turn on the radio. Don't look at the news on the internet. I can do that. But what's, you know, am I doing it with real intention or just to check the box? So this year it feels more intentional. And it's particularly political news. And, you know, my intention with it is to, you know, go against that mechanical attraction to the drama of it all. I can see that's what is the big attraction for me. It's kind of like people, maybe, because I'm not one of these, maybe like people who are really into horror movies. You know, let's watch the political news and get all scared and, you know, feel all tingly inside. It's also, it can be, and I've taken it this way before at times, it can be something to lean into very consciously with, you know, with a wakefulness. But I can't claim that I, you know, take in that particular swell of A influences in that way. Most of the time I don't. So I am fasting from that this Lent, and I'm also and this just came to me after the first few days into Lent, that I'm also replacing those A influences with what I consider B influences. I dug out old CDs of recordings from Tim teaching. And when I started listening to him on those recordings, it was like he's still here with me, and he's still teaching, and the depth of his understanding of the spiritual ideas and his ability to articulate them so beautifully. It's like, why would I ever want to watch the news when I've got that, you know? So it's, I'm giving myself a break by not taking in the news, but I'm also giving myself the gift of listening to the teachings, from a master, and, really, really grateful for that. Seems like there was something more I wanted to say about that, but I think that's a good note to end on. Thank you.
Amen. Listening to Tim is always so fruitful. I hear the depth of his voice and his experience and the spirit moving in him. You know, I have CDs here. I have two CD players just because I want to listen to those sometimes. And of course, Gurdjieff music helps too. But I agree that, you know, if you're taking something away, why not add that higher influence or higher impressions that can go into us? Wonderful. Thank you, David. Looks like Mary Leah and or Britt.
Hi, Sharon. Thanks for being here with us tonight. I wanted to speak about the imagery from the video. If you haven't watched it, I would highly recommend it to everybody from last week's email. So whenever I have studied the ray of creation, I've always felt very attracted in my intellectual center to that notion of the numbers. So I'm a numbers person, and the cascading of the numbers from the absolute, you know, through all of the layers of the ray of creation has always appealed to me, and I've taken it in and read about it and understood it. at an intellectual level. And I've understood that the three is the same. It keeps cascading and it's always there. In other words, the triune God is in everything. And I get that in my intellectual center. But seeing those images in that tessellated triangles with the purple one, I think it was purple right at the center, it being the three, the God, though, it's there in everything that cascades out. That hit me in my emotional center and really resonated deeply. And then layered on that, Father Keating saying, God is in everything, in that little tiny video of his, it just moved me to a place of deeper understanding, like in my body, what that meant. And that was just, it was an amazing gift. And then later, so I'm working on a quilt, the first quilt I've ever made. We have a grandbaby arriving any moment now, pure essence about to be delivered to this earth. And the pieces that I'm putting together happen to be triangles as well. And they're not in a block pattern. They're not the traditional quilt. They are, it's a color array, and it's sort of a bit of a hard to explain, but the point I want to make is you can't see it close up. You have to distance yourself from the quilt for its creative beauty to emerge. So with the video and the quilt in mind today, what came to me was God is in everything. Every piece belongs. In other words, the imagery of this life in association with all the other lives on the planet and all the other creation on the planet sometimes just takes a little bit of distance to be able to see it. And at the same time, having an embodied experience of it. So it was just a fabulous couple of days living with this material, letting it percolate into this grandma about to be. And what a blessing this community is, that we have these things that can come to meet us in whatever way they do. So gratitude, deep gratitude today.
Thank you, that's beautiful. And I often think about seeing things in the rearview mirror. Sometimes you have to get kind of over the bridge so that you can see that God was there all the time in everything. And, you know, just seeing that rearview mirror and going, oh, God held that bridge too. And that's kind of what I heard you say. And sometimes I also think about that we're in the midst of things in life, and we can't really see how we're connected or what our little role is that we're playing. But maybe if I got really high up over it, I could see the whole painting and I could see what my stroke is doing in relationship with all the other strokes that they're going on. So thank you so much. And I think we'll end with Mary Leia. And that was really lovely. I got a lot out of that. Appreciate you. And I think it does bring us to great gratitude and love. So thank you. All right, so I guess we'll now shift to our next section. And Mark is going to be putting up my slides for me. So we're going to start with a little prayer that was in the a book called, it's a 40-day intensive on simplicity from Contemplative Outreach. And this has been a prayer that has had a lot of meaning for me through my journey. And so anyway, I'll just read it aloud so that we can just bring ourselves to that. So let's just feel our feet on the floor and our buttocks in the chair and just open our hearts to this. So it says, Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds, and I like to add, and bodies, to the lived experience of your indwelling presence. May we live our lives from the divine center, ever aware of the source of every breath, of every moment, and the all of the moment, right? Infuse us with simplicity of heart, mind, and body. Infuse our lives with simplicity of presence. Infuse us with simple gratitude for the gift of our very lives. Amen. And I love this image of the hands and kind of the outline of the lotus. For me, essence is kind of embodied in that lotus flower of it takes a really long time to do this journey. And, you know, Nichols says that over and over again in the commentaries. And we ignore that sentence that this work takes a very long time. And so as we're going along our journey, we see, oh, well, this is my experience. As I started the work, I'd be going along thinking I was doing it. And, you know, of course, I'm doing the prayer. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, well, now I'm ready to begin. And then I'd go a little further along the road and I'd go, now I'm ready to begin. So that continued to and still continues to come to me. So, Mark, if you would give us our next slide, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. I love this image. So I was looking at the images that I wanted to share. And this one, I mean, it looks like the DNA, you know. But an essence has DNA in it. It has our parents and our ancestors are in there, the building blocks of life. And I thought I would just go through some of the quotes that are found between, you know, on some of the work teachers. Undeveloped essence is crude. Every essence is unique. The new man is in essence, and the wings are there. Only what is in us has to learn to use them. Essence is indestructible. Essence wants spiritual things. According to the things you want, you know where you are. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Essence remembers. I can't help but think about Frozen. This is water has memory and it remembers as well. So, and we're brought into the waters of life in the womb. And we're mostly water through our life, as Emoto likes, or as Dr. Emoto loves to talk about. Our wishes for understanding are with us after death. This is our wish so that essence can be strong. You see, when it is an essence wish, it is really God wishing in us, because essence is part of real I. Obeying the work, following the instructions we are given, develops second body in essence. And so these are from Beryl Pogson, from two of her the books mentioned here. So this energy of essence, I would say that I moved to gratitude when I realized that I've been given this gift, not only of the essence, but the body that it came in. You know, no matter what we think of our bodies, whether we've been, ignoring them, taking them for granted, glorifying them, whatever we're doing in our lifetime, that picture that of the baby in the womb, the fetus in the womb, shows us how absolutely beautiful it is. And that those cells are multiplying and they have an intelligence. And for me, I keep thinking about the body because this is my little W work and my big W work and all of the rest of it. And I thought, well, you know, it's interesting because the body kind of is this vessel, this container that this essence is in, it must have something to tell us. Otherwise, we wouldn't have it. Well, first of all, we need it for this planet. We can't be in this planet without a planetary body. But even more than that, I think it really has an intelligence that is far beyond anything we give it credit for. And it has come to me several times just in praying and meditating on it that it has something to teach us. It has something to share with our soul for the next journey, for the next part of the journey. And in that moment in the womb, it's saying yes to kind of a journey with us. And it has hopes that we'll use it wisely and that we will develop and transform into Christ. And so I know those are all very interesting abstract ideas, but I think that we're born with that essence in our body, and it sacrifices itself. And it knows that possibly from the moment that we're being formed in the womb, it knows it's a limited time offer. And it really, I believe, brings some hope that we will take this up, this journey up. It wants us to move into the journey, and it wants to go with us to the fulfillment of our potential transformation. So I move to gratitude and awe at that. And it reminds me that I have a great responsibility. But I would say that, you know, depending on when we found the journey, maybe we're a little older, we wake up and we look, oh gosh, look at my body. What did I do? What did I do with this? And it's never too late to take it up on a cellular level. The cells are listening to you and they love you. They want the best for you. And the fetus reminds me, you know, Nicol talks about the seed a lot. And of course, we hear the seed in the Gospels, that we're this little seed. And that seed gets covered up with personality. And we know in the work that essence gets to eat that personality as we begin to unfold ourselves and begin to see things. And I love this quote from Beryl Pogson. She says, look at nature. How is essence going to break through? Why is an egg made as it is? It is a symbol of the universe. The seed is in the egg. There is always something within. The shell, or what is outer, has to be destroyed for the chicken to get through. It is a protection for a time. I think it is the most wonderful plan that nature should have these illustrations of how man can grow. The shell has served its purpose. I love that simple idea that she brings us to about that. Things have to be broken. We get to break open by breaking through our personality that we formed. We needed it, but we have to break through it by going, this doesn't serve me anymore, but the essence can eat it. And it's very childlike. And, you know, you think about our essence and what we loved doing when we were a little kid. That really tells us a lot about that innocence of the essence. It's beautiful. Here's a couple of more quotes. Essence is aware of scale. Essence ponders. It doesn't think like our formatory center or our intellectual center. It ponders, or maybe another good word for that is wonders. Inertia is the enemy of all growth of essence. Or maybe we might talk about that as identification or manana. I'll do it tomorrow. I'm quite content here where I am. We all have that. Essence works very simply. So, Robin Bloor is one of our teachers and one of my dear friends. I was sharing one day, and I was explaining about a moment when my mother had had a nervous breakdown, and she was in the bed, and I'm standing by her bed. And I'm five, and I said, I will never be like you. And as I said that, Robin said, that's essence talking. You didn't have those words as a five-year-old. And I went, thank you for that. That really helped me, because that was a memory I had. And it was a strong memory, and it's like I couldn't quite figure it out. And he helped me with that, because there was something in me that knew that already. And I guess needed to be said out loud, because I said it to myself in that moment. And it anchored it in me for my whole life, and my journey has been a very circuitous one, as many of us know that. Douglas, I see your hand, but can you wait just a few moments and maybe we can have, is it a question, I'm assuming? We'll just wait for the questions for a few moments. It'd be great. Another thing that Robin has said that I thought was a very strong statement: if we are not working in essence, we are not working at all. Therefore, we need to try to discover our essence and to live from it. Again, that was very helpful for me, and maybe it will be of help for you in your exploration of essence. You know, we talk about the essence of things in our lifetime, but in the work and in our spiritual journey, it has a different significance. And from Rodney Collin, personality is an organ of digestion for experience. It is only after much persistent work in personality that experience becomes part of one's understanding. That is absorbed in essence. So we're all striving to understand ourselves, the one that we are. And as we do our work, whether it's in centering prayer work, when we're unloading and learning more about ourselves in the zone of silence, or if it's in our efforts that we're making in our work, in our daily life, those are being absorbed in essence. Essence is remembering, taking it in, and growing from that. The chief way of nourishing essence is by self-remembering, or as I like to say, God-remembering, and also through love of truth and beauty. I mean, you can just feel that. Real I is said to show essence the task. Essence represents all that one is so far, and that indicates what one has to do. So there have been many times when in my life that I was just kind of either lying down with my eyes closed or kind of just reflecting And this is before I even got into the work and on a spiritual journey that I would call the spiritual journey. And something would come in, and I don't know why, but I had ears to hear. I listened to those. Sometimes those were very uncomfortable for me. I was very happy where I was, and it said, "You're going to move." And I said, "I don't want to move." But I listened, and I left everything and moved. I knew no one where I was going. And so it was very scary, and yet it was exactly where I needed to be. And I listened. And I'm sure that each of us has a story or multitude of stories just like that. We don't know why we're doing it. I believe that's essence. And I had a visceral experience in the 10th man school. Tim was asking, we were doing meditations on the Tro at the time, and he wanted to form a small group that would be the digestive organ of that. And he asked us if we wanted to be considered for the group to write a letter. And my head said, "I'm not writing a letter." And my heart jumped out of my body. And I went, "I guess I'm writing a letter." And I ended up getting into that group, and it changed me so much. And so I just want to say, when you have those experiences, that's a visceral body experience, perk your ears up. There's something there for you. It's been my experience, my life. If we could keep awake, we would remain in touch with our essence. And we know how difficult that is, but every moment that we wake up to ourselves, wake up to the moment, wake up to the reality of now, we're in essence. Mark, would you mind moving to the next slide for me, please? Thank you. This is one of my favorite pictures of Gurdjieff. It's in a review, a Gurdjieff review, and the little caption got taken out, but he was watching movements. And I'm like, look at this picture. I can see his essence, and I hope you can too. So part of the title of this section is called Becoming, and then Essence and Embodied Finitude. And I like this quote from him. Be a question. Be a question. It is only grounding our awareness in the living sensations of our bodies that the I am, our real presence, can awaken. So we talk about the three centers. We talk about embodying practices like yoga and the movements and Tai Chi, or, you know, intentional walking. And maybe even just a sensation exercise in and of itself. There are plenty of those. The essence can only develop at the expense of the personality, which we pretty much touched on already. But it's food for the essence. As we know, the Trogoato Egocrat, everything is eating itself from the tails, right? Everything is eating something. What are we eating? Now, the internal essence and its understanding can only grow through what is genuine. Lies kill it. True, or damages it, one or the other. Truth develops it. It has a high origin, and we can feel that. I feel that the people that are in this group, we can feel something that we're drawn to, we're magnetized to through our magnetic center. Our essence wants something. And you can move to the next slide, Mark. Thank you. This is Richard Araj, longtime Gurdjieff student, and he was sent to America to bring the work to America. Truth before God is essence. Truth before man is personality. Like that. A really good quote. Life in the planetary body is sensation. In the astral body, emotion. In the mental body, thought. The body is the soil in which a soul may grow. The work is the preparation of a soil in which a soul can grow. These each, we can just reflect on them for a long time, but I just wanted to present this because we hear about Araj in meetings with Margot Mann, life is real only when I am, these ideas that Araj was formulating in America, I think are very deep. And if you don't mind going to the next slide, Mark, thank you. So I did want to take a moment and bring some impressions in of this thing, what we call our body. Now we see the outside form and we get very caught up in that. For obvious reasons, we see each other, we see our bodies, we feel our skin, we're sick, whatever. We have all these experiences, but we have an aim this year of holy unknowing. And so I wanted to show some of these images of what's going on inside of us and all these processes that are happening in our bodies. So the first one is the digestive system, and we talk a lot about digestion in the work on digesting impressions, digesting the enzymes of the books that we're reading and allowing them to move through us so we have a time of processing. But if you look at this digestive system, these are all from Body World, except for a few of the pictures, are from the Body World exhibit. And I found it incredibly fascinating. I know it's not for everyone, but look at this system. It is beautiful, but it's alien. It's an alien life form living in. It starts at the tongue, goes down through the sigmoid, and doesn't really touch anything. And yet we are reliant on this. We are so reliant on this to live these lives. God is very creative. And then the next one over is our brain and our central nervous system and the nerve endings. I mean, is that the most beautiful thing? It is just, it's just elegant. And then I couldn't find a really good picture of the lymph. So the one that's underneath it is an attempt to show the lymph. It's a beautiful, but he did have a display of that, and it looked like lace. It was just so beautiful. And that is our garbage truck. Our garbage trucks that take things out through our system. And those are part of our instinctive center, our immune systems. And we know very little about it. We don't explore that at all. We just go, oh, what's wrong with me? I'm not feeling well, right? And so we kind of, but we can talk to these. We can talk to them and shore them up and tell them that we really are grateful for their work. Grateful for the ability. That instinctive center is doing all kinds of amazing things for us all the time. The next one is the face with the so I was just trying to show the blood and the venous systems, the whole system of that is just a network. It's just incredibly beautiful when you look at it like this. And we don't see it. We see this, all the outer coverings of our skin. And of course, the one next to it is our lungs, and it looks, it's just a living piece of art. It's just beautiful. And we don't think about our breath, but our breath is so important. It invigorates us. It enlivens us. It is the activation of our life force and the electromagnetic current that's going through our bodies, and all of that is just so beautiful. I think I look at it as living art. And then, of course, we've got the skeletal system and the muscular system. That's all going on underneath all of this. I mean, we can just ponder it. I mean, and just look at it for a while and go, wow. And then the last one is something that's dear to me, is the meridian systems, which don't have anything that you could pull out, but they're inside of us, and they go through our organs, our organic system, and they have flow to them, and they also have stagnation. And so when everything's working well, aren't we a marvel? Aren't we a marvel? I think I skipped something, so I'm going to go back for just a second. Our bodies could be strong and yet flexible, a strong and flexible vessel to hold and to allow the spirit and to contain it. So sometimes I say to myself, contain, bring it back in, bring all my separated parts back in, and bring it back into the middle. We need a center. Wouldn't that be nice to live from? Next slide, please. I love these images because the one on the left reminds me of the Leonardo da Vinci picture of man. And in it, it looks like a circle, but then I take the circle and I start winding it around my body, so it's more of an atom, and I'm in the middle of that atomic field, and that is my sphere of influence, everything around me, right? And I have emanations that I'm not even maybe aware of. What am I emanating? And it feels challenging to be in these bodies, and as we age, we really feel that pretty strongly. Present, grounded, open to the spirit. And I just have the question, what role do these mysterious bodies play in our transformation? The one on the right, of course, is the chakra system from yoga. Wheels of energy, and they're not just dots like that, but they live inside of us. And one of my yoga students told me one time, that is just woo-woo, Sharon. And I said, it's not. So I laid her on the floor, and I took a necklace with a pendant, and I put it over each chakra, and there's movement in each of the, above each of those chakras. It's an amazing system of alignment, but also of energetic fields of influence that are going on all the time. And maybe we could tune into those. What would that be like? Rajiv talks a lot about vibratory actions, a lot of vibrations happening, electricity. In his book, The Tales, he talks a lot about these sounds and energies, and he's talking about this. Next slide, please. I love this image. The essence is in the emotions, but not of them. The I is in the essence, but not of it. From Jane Heap. What do you love to do from essence and for no other reason? What did you love to do in childhood? This gives us a clue. One of the first ways we could pay for our rising is through feeling joy in our existence. And the joy comes from allowing, opening, making efforts, effortless efforts. And the emanations are apparent in this image. When we are living in our center, in our essence, and we're working through that, love emanates. So we do something at our church. I just have to put one little plug in for the movements because it embodies all of the things we've been talking about. And I had a slide, but it didn't make it in there. So I'll just show you the picture if I can get it close enough there. There we go. And from Madame Jean de Salzman, your body is not only yours. The second body can stand outside the ordinary body, in front or behind, if it is strong and concentrated. It has its own intelligence. And from Jose de Salzman, the movements cannot be of minor importance because the body is important. It is an instrument. The body is able to participate in the enlightenment of the whole man. If the body were excluded, the idea that man must become whole would lose credibility. And I would say this statement helps us too. Movements are a template of life. Can I be in all three centers? Can I emanate from my essence? So that concludes my program, but I did want to come back to Douglas. If you had a question, I would love to address your question if I can, or maybe someone can. Maybe just raise your hand so Mark can see you on the screen so he can unmute you. No. Mark, can you see Douglas? It's Douglas Smith. There we go.
That was an error. I'm sorry.
Oh, that was an error that you raised your hand. Well, I'm not sorry. Hi, Douglas. Thank Hi. You. Marcia, did you have something to share?
Yes, I just have a question, Sharon. I live in a lot of pain, and walking is my primary. I walk every day for about 40 minutes, and I'm interested in the concept of intentional walking. Is it just literally making an intention before you walk, or is there more to it than that?
Well, that's a great question, because, you know, most of the time we walk, we're in our imagination. So it's an opportunity.
I usually say, prayers, but they become so mechanical then.
That's the thing, you know. Everything that we do, we have to constantly give ourselves little shocks. to wake ourselves up. And so, you know, maybe each day that you go on your walk, you can choose a center to listen, maybe to some music while you're going. Or you could say, I'm going to really concentrate on my hara today as I'm walking.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to open my heart, and I'm just going to feel myself as I walk. I'm going to slow down, and I'm going to walk today and really be in my body. How long does it take before I forget? Oh, let me start again. Stop, get back in the body, and start again. You know, there's so many ways that you can play with that. Get really? Creative. You're a creative gal, Marcia. You can get creative. Yeah.
And so much of what you've already said, I have taken pictures of, and I intend to go back and really focus on those. My body, as I said, is I like to what Mimi taught us last week. I have sensation as opposed to I have pain, and that's been what I've been working on all week. But to really ponder all these beautiful things you've said about the body, because I have never considered my body my friend at all, friendly. And you've given me ways now in this presentation to be able to do that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Ask your body questions. Talk to it.
Yeah.
You know, so what are you trying to tell me with this sensation? And send it love, send it gratitude, thank it for all that it does for us. Maybe that will help you. And I was also going to suggest that Gurdjieff says that, you know, we can count up to 50 and backwards to stay, you know, and so that our intellectual center has something to do, to chew on. And it really helps, because you'll notice that you start to count backwards and you'll get to 30 and you go, what number was I on? And you start again.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone. Oh, do we have time for one more question, Marianne? Okay. Jim? Hi.
Good evening. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of what Marcia was saying. I had experience of last Lent. I went a couple days in the Lent before I actually got things together and started. So I had a future memory. I said for this. So I remember that this year. So the weekend before Lent, I actually went to my bookshelves and said, you know, just processed and said, well, this book, I actually found a Charles Fillmore book that I'd forgot I had. And one reason I mention it, because it mentioned about having the gospel of reading it. And in that book, he has some great things at the beginning. And at the back of the book, he has also a study where you can read the gospels. So I think that was, to me, that intention. And it's made a world of a difference. And I think also that delight. I think when you plan, sometimes it may not be the most, you know, that's mechanical. But I think sometimes it helps me anyway, in my experience, to set that up so you can have the great intention. And yeah, just that planning, it's just made a world of difference for my Lent.
Thank you, Jim. So that word finitude means that there's a time relation, as Marianne was talking about before. So the time is now, the time is of the essence. And I hope that we all get busy doing our work. And thank you for your time and for everyone's attention.
Thank you, Sharon, for your work, for your being, for your presence. So one closing word from Rodney Cullen. He says, work begins when we learn to separate ourselves from what we are not. When we get the taste of our true selves. And why do we do this? Not to please ourselves, but to have something real to offer to God. Christ said, leave all you have and follow me. That did not mean that we are to leave all the circumstances of our lives. Rather, it meant to leave all the falseness in ourselves and to be our real selves, for only the real self can follow Christ. And so let us take that in. And Sharon, you helped us in that understanding of what it means. So we join together in praying aloud the prayer of God's love, that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully, and how blessed I am to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, while we are awake, and watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in Christ's peace. Amen.